Welcome to episode 5 of the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast. This morning, we are very delighted to welcome Jake Libby and Ben Slater to the studio. Two opening batters. And I think it's good to, we'll obviously welcome you guys first. How are you guys? Are you well?
Yeah, very well.
Working hard. Working hard, Ben?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, I think obviously, while we've got two astute opening batters in the studio this morning, I think there's a bit of a hot topic flying around at the minute, talking about opening the batting in England, in the English conditions, especially early season. I think last year, certainly the openers and the top order batters found it very difficult at the start of last year, and that sort of filtering its way into the England setup a little bit. I think we're finding it very hard now to find genuine opening batters. So I think it's just a good opportunity for us and the listeners to try and get into the minds of two county opening batters, blokes that have done it for many years now. So I'll start with you, Libs. Obviously, you've played at Trent Bridge for a few years now, being an opening batter. Without being too open question, but how hard is it, especially early season?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, without sounding too stupid, it is a tough place to bat, isn't it? Obviously, it's against a new ball, fresh bowling, fresh pitches. You know, without patting myself on the back, I think, you know, it is probably the toughest place to bat in the order. I think we've seen that also filter into international cricket now. I think, really, I do feel a little bit for Keaton Jennings because I think he's deserved his place to open up the order for England. But perhaps we messed around a little bit and he has struggled. But, well, I've never seen him miss a half volley against us, to be fair, which is a bit annoying. But,
yeah, it is, isn't it?
So now all of a sudden he's the worst player of the half volley I've seen, or what the media say. But, yeah, it's a tough place to bat. And, yeah, I guess April is... I remember last April was a particularly wet month and, you know, it was a tough time to bat. So, yeah, perhaps openers don't get the scores that, you know, they're used to. I think I saw a stat on Sky Sports News, 37,000 run seasons were... So 5 seasons ago and only 5 people got it in the last sort of 2 seasons. So
wow, that is a good
stat. I think it is different numbers, but, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Slats, what would you sort of... put that down to? Would you say that, I don't know, the pitches are, I don't know, I think we're starting a little bit earlier and maybe sort of the weather, the climate's changing a little bit, and it is, I mean, certainly last year it was so wet for pre-season, I think the groundsmen really struggled to prepare anything sort of flat, or not necessarily flat, but at least a better contest. Is there anything that you do leading up to the season? I mean, obviously we're going to South Africa and they're sort of polar opposites, aren't they, compared to what you will be facing. Does there have to be sort of an element of making sure that you put in some, I don't know, you can't really replicate seam movement, can you? I mean,
no, I don't think so. I think, just going back to what you said before, with all the championship games in April and now at the back end of the season, I think September, nearly into October when we play our last game, it's almost like April all over again, really. So when you get when you're playing your championship cricket at that time of the year, it's almost getting like 2 start of the seasons with the gap in between for the 2020 and everything. But
he did alright last September.
Thanks for that, Shane.
He did very well.
I don't know. I think last couple of years at Derby, we didn't go away for whatever reason, but. So spent a bit of time outside netting from early on, so I don't know if that helped, but I don't think you really do much different, because like you say, you can't really replicate it, and we're going abroad and that'll be the best preparation we can get, but I don't think there's much you can't really replicate what you're going to get outside in April, indoors really, with the surfaces that we get. So I just think it's just got to get on with it, ain't you, Jake?
Yeah, I think we tried a little bit with that green mat, haven't we, in the Trent Bridge. Which is better, isn't it, than just on a plastic surface. It does move a little bit, but yeah, I think ultimately it's pretty difficult.
I feel $1 million on the indoor surfaces. Yeah. It can be a little bit misleading at times. But so let's try and get into the mindset of you as openers. And you know, say that first game comes around and the toss goes up, we're batting first. It's a green pitch. You know, they're all their bowlers are fresh off their pre-seasons, ready to go. They want to prove a point. When you walking out to the crease, what are you sort of going through in your mind? Are you just trying to go through your processes, or are you just trying to survive, basically?
I think obviously with the toss rule now as well, since the last few years, we certainly have been batting first, particularly Trent Bridge.
What about the toss rule? I've been out of the game a while, sorry.
Yeah, so I think you get your head, attuned to that you are going to be batting first almost this time of year. I think we'll know we'll be batting first the first two games of the season, both at Trent Bridge. So, I think, obviously you obviously got your own game plans and you try and stick by that, but I think it is particularly tough start of season, so your old traditional watch off stump and all that sort of thing comes into play. But I think you still got to be positive at the same time, because I think we've seen, particularly games at Trent Bridge, you can score quickly. If they are loose, then sometimes that's the best way to go, because if you get 250, you must be in the game early season. And sometimes if that's through slightly positive cricket, as we've tried sometimes in the past here, I think that's come off for us. So, yes, getting the balance right, I guess, between sort of negotiating your off stump and scoring runs. And I know the England team have been hammered for that. They've been over positive, or so to speak. But, I think it's getting that balance right.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit fortunate in county cricket. Obviously, we don't have the same scrutiny that Keats and Rory Burns and Joe Denny going through at the minute. These players have played county cricket, proved themselves in county cricket, they've scored the runs. But as soon as you step up a level, your whole technique just gets pulled to pieces. And going back to the mindset type of thing, if that early season, it's quite easy for you to get, those first two games, get four unbelievable balls, get four pretty low scores. What would your mindset be after that? Would it just be a bit of a sort of brush it off, got four good balls, fair enough, I'll come back again next game? Or is it a case of, I need to change my technique? Because it seems like we spoke a little bit earlier when we was having breakfast about Keats seems to have changed his technique a little bit. I'm not a batter. Well, I don't claim to be
all
a batter.
Rounder.
Yeah, all-rounder. Yeah, technical. But it seems to me like the media has sort of has got the better of him a little bit, and now he's changing what he's done for however old he is, 27 years or something. And would you change your technique halfway through a season, halfway through a series? Would it be something that even crossed your mind?
I don't think you'd want to, would you? Especially after four innings. I think if you got four good balls, it'd be a bit easier to take than if you'd got a couple and played a few bad shots as well. So I think if that was the case and it was four good balls, I think you'd just stick to what you knew and what you'd worked on all winter, and just trust all the work that you've done. But yeah, like you're saying with Keaton, obviously Morsey was saying this morning that they've got so many different angles that they can video you from. Like, we probably got a couple, but nowhere near the level that Sky have. So as soon as you go up the next level and you're in the public eye that much, he's getting angles videoed from all sorts of angles, and they're picking different things up. Whereas, like you said earlier, I've played against him a lot, and he just churns the runs out pretty much every time I played against him, really. So he's obviously doing something right to score the amount of runs he does at this level. So
yeah, he certainly looked, I think, looking at him, you can sort of get a bit misled watching on TV, but when you play against him, like you say, I think we've all played a lot against him, he just looks, he looks like, if you bowl a bad ball at him, he punishes. I think at Lancs at home last year, did he get 200? I mean, he got a lot, he got like 100 and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Something plus.
He always gets 100 against us.
He does always get 100 against us, doesn't he? But he punishes the bad ball. If you bowled it, we've had so many chats up in the dressing room about how well he defends his stumps and how he punishes bad balls. You had such a small margin for error bowling at him. Yeah. As soon as you make that step up.
I think it is. So I think it's the media just almost killed him. I think obviously it's punditry and that, it's their jobs, and that's a big part of, you know, sort of international cricket, because it is all over the papers, the news is everywhere. So I think in a way they've almost got inside his head. But I think, you know, like I said, I've never really, he always punches a half volley, and all of a sudden they've made out like he can't play the half volley. So it's a weird one, but I do feel a little bit for him, because I do think he's a very good player, and he's obviously, you know, a little bit, you know, against it now. I think he's probably struggling for the Ashes going forward. He'll have to score a lot of runs. But, yeah, I think he's a good player, and it may just be the case that the media have got on his back, and maybe he's changed his game because of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think one that we talked a little bit about when I think maybe Tomo was in the studio, our sports psych, about sort of the mentality of players sort of this day and age, and with the social media and stuff. And I've had a small taste of that, and being sort of being on the wrong end of that as well, going into the Ashes last year. Obviously, I think that you go through a bit of a roller coaster as an England player, because of the media you go through, especially somebody in Keats's position, maybe Joe Denley's position, when you're not quite sure if you're going to be playing. Yeah. You have all the media focus. You have two prep days. Those two prep days, you're obviously going through quite a big emotional thing about, are you going to be playing? All the media are talking you up, talking like through what your possible downfalls could be, you know, very not a lot about the positives about you, a lot about what could go wrong. Then you obviously get into the game, you get you selected, then you go into the game, and you might not perform as well, like Joe did the first innings. You got, you know, playing on a pitch like
that was horrible.
It's just like chucking him out there, isn't it? And after that innings, even the media was trying to scrutinise his technique. Yeah. And I'd see Joe as being one of the most technically sound players.
Yeah.
But because he's playing on these,
it's ultimately a job though, isn't it? They've got to say something. So I think that's probably a lot of the case. And
It is amazing how they're so quick to pick up on things. Like two of the best batters in the country for the last couple of years. Just going back to what you said about Keaton, like, what I'd say he was good at, it was defending his stumps, like you said, and then putting the bad ball away. And then as soon as he's gone up, it's almost like he can't defend and he can't put the bad ball away. But every time we watch him, it's like...
Yeah, and that's got to be the... It's obviously a bigger pressure, isn't it, playing for England, and you're constantly under that scrutiny. But
it has to be obviously got in his head. Definitely. I say, speaking from a little bit of experience, I think you have like a bit of an England bubble, which if you stay in the England bubble, then you're good. But as soon as you start looking at your phone, looking at the papers, listening to the radio stations, listening to podcasts, Talk of Trent Bridge podcast,
you can pick out what you want, can't you?
Yeah, it can snowball. And again, referring back to the Ashes, I turned my Twitter off. I didn't want to see it, because I looked at a couple and I thought, oh my god, these people, like some of the stuff that you get sent through, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that people, like the names they call you, things like that. So it's just like, just turn it off. Don't listen to the radio. Yeah. Don't listen to the papers or whatever, and just get on with what's got you to that level in the first place. It's easier said than done, and obviously I think Keats is finding it quite hard to sort of switch off and just do what he's done to get him to that level.
There's no real middle ground is there. You're either a hero or you are the villain.
Exactly, 100%. But that was a bit heavy, so let's get onto a bit lighter stuff, shall we? Let's get onto a bit lighter stuff. How are you two shaping up in the nets? You're batting indoors, so you're shaping like $1 million, aren't you? Let's be honest. But Slats, coming into our dressing room, and this has obviously been your first winter with us. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, no, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been good so far, and everything we've done, really, all the technical sort of stuff, batting, not much bowling for me, like fielding work and.
What do you bowl?
Leg spin. Yeah.
Wow.
When I was at Derby a couple of years ago and Boats was there, he had me working on it a bit, and I'd got all right, but I never got the opportunity. Yeah.
We went all right at Trinity, sorry.
Went to Kent as second spinner once and got dispatched everywhere by Sam Northeast. That was the end of my spin bowling career, I think. Wow. But yeah, no, going back to that, yeah, it's been good working on in the gym with Liam. He's not bad.
We can tell that, don't we?
Yeah, you can tell.
Had a couple of weddings recently, haven't you? Just let yourself slip. But never mind.
Thank you, Jake.
Yes, Jake Libby.
Yeah.
Are you working on? Obviously, you had a little taste of what it's like to bat at Trent Bridge. I know we just talked about changing stuff. Does that make you change anything, or are you working on anything specific that you know you might not have done at Derby and you think you might need here, or is it just a case of?
Not specifically. I think what I've been working on with Morsey, a bit with my trigger, will help me get in and out of the ball a bit better. And as opening batsman, I think that's one of the main areas of your game, really, especially when it's nipping around in April or all throughout the season. It does when you face a new ball, eh, Jake?
Yeah, obviously. So yeah,
for us batting novices, what's getting in and out of the ball?
What
do you mean, like dive into the when it's coming? I think about doing that a few times when it's coming down at me, diving straight into it, but
heading it for six.
Yeah,
yeah. Just I don't know how to explain it. Really, it's easy. It's a bit easier trying to do it, getting forward,
rocking
weight
forward
into the ball. Forward, yeah.
Yeah,
I like you do that.
I get my weight back.
What, I hit it over extra?
Yeah. You know it. Yeah. What about you, Libs? You working on anything specific?
It's been good pre-season, apart from I broke my toe off a York off Morsey, so I had a nice sort of month holiday over Christmas period, or just before.
We don't call it holidays.
No, sorry, not holiday. I worked hard in the gym, that's what I did, yeah. But apart from that, I got back into it, and yeah, batting's gone well. Still bowling a bit of my dusty off spinners as well.
I faced a bit of that in the nets the other
day. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you seemed
spinning
to like that a bit. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Long man went out early, but anyway. Apart from that, it's been good. Fitness has been tough. Probably the toughest winter we've had, actually, I would say, in terms of what we've done. I ended up 3 days in hospital because of it.
You did.
After the triathlon.
I think I pushed myself just a little bit too far. Yeah. At least it shows that I do work hard. I think that was what I got out of it, and that's what Pipey said.
And you didn't even win.
Yeah.
It was controversial.
For those didn't watch the triathlon, the one that I won
by default.
Yeah.
Controversially,
I'm a good loser, not like Luke Wood.
I don't want to say controversially won. I didn't. Yeah, okay. I won the triathlon. But I think we come into Trent Bridge the next day and found out that you were in hospital after that.
Yeah, you might have done. I wasn't here. I was
incredible. Yeah, first training session back, we put one of the players in hospital, and people say we don't work hard.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Put him in hospital. How are you swinging the club at the minute, Jake?
Yeah, well,
you're back out there.
Yeah, back
since
out
your broken toe.
Yeah, took down. Obviously, we know the ledge very well. Brett Hutton. Know, I'm sure everyone does know him, but
as the ledge.
Yeah, he was quite rusty actually. It was his first round in a while. So I took him down, and Luke Woods took him down as well. Yeah. That's a good game between me and Luke. I beat him on the 18th, won by a couple of shots in the end.
Yeah, he's going on about this. Big high draw he's got with his new
he's
clubs.
He's changed his swing big time, yeah. He's got his whole new set of clubs in the bag, so he's finally spent some money.
You're saying you're a bit of a bandit this morning.
Well, he did say you was a bandit, actually.
He said you're off
Biscuit.
Five, but you,
well,
you
said,
should be off less.
He said you got 35 points off three the other day.
That's well, we've got our new sort of handicap rules in our little... Yeah. I'm not having that, but yeah, Luke's changed his swing, and he's sort of got his little baby draw, as he keeps saying. He's Dustin
it's
Johnson
not,
at the minute.
It's not a baby draw.
Yeah, well, you'll see later, won't you?
Yeah, me and Paul Franks are taking on Jake Libby and Luke Wood on the golf course later.
Yeah,
we do work hard. We're in this morning. We're training this morning.
Yeah,
we're going after training. That's the thing.
If we feel up to it after
the gym. Slats, how do you like to obviously we just Jake we know well I didn't we don't know but Jake likes to play golf, that's his escape, walking his dog, things like that. How do you like to escape from the game? How do you like to get away, switch off? Going to watch the Spy Rights.
Yeah, go and watch the Spy Rights. Well, not
that wouldn't be switching off for me. That'd be frustration.
No, especially at the minute, it would be a lot of frustration. I've not really been much recently because they've been terrible. But that would have been one of them a couple of years ago when they were doing all right and it was worth paying the money.
Yeah. Glory support.
Yeah. Well, if you call League One glory supporting them. No, I did play, do play a bit of golf. Didn't play much last year because I broke my thumb, so I couldn't really play much golf. But previous summers, I wouldn't really play in the winter like you lunatics, really. But yeah, especially in the summer, I play quite a bit. But yeah, you're not getting me out there this afternoon at 5 degrees or
whatever.
Lovely
day today.
Yeah, it's perfect. You tried playing a few weeks ago.
There's a frost down there, though.
Yeah,
so
it won't be later. We've got batting, gym, fielding to do first.
Golf.
And then we'll go. Then we're going to go and play golf. That's very good. Right, it's time. It's time for guess the member of staff. Ooh. I'm sure you've been listening.
I've guessed them all so far. I'll just put it out there.
You guessed yourself?
Oh, yeah, I guessed one of myself. Yeah.
Right, here we go. Let me just get my stats up. I need to start being a little bit more prepared with this. Getting a few.
Yeah, should have this off by heart, surely, not off your phone.
The what?
Should have this in your head, not off your phone.
No, nothing.
I've just done this whole podcast off the cuff, and now you're telling about getting my phone out for a few stats.
Nash, you did say you were a bit unprofessional. I can see why.
Okay, so my first class batting average is 34.1 at a strike rate of 58.
Oh, I've got an idea.
Oh,
early
doors. No, I'm going to give you three.
Okay, right, go on.
You said you listened.
Nah, listen, go on.
58, that's quite.
My first class bowling average is 34.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's too easy.
Yeah, it's too easy.
I've actually made that too easy.
Go on, say another one then, but I think we got it.
I've taken 106 first class catches.
Yeah, I reckon I'm pretty confident it's our club captain.
Yeah.
Oh, I nearly swore then. I thought that was going to be hot. How have you got that? From stats?
It's badges, aren't we, I think?
From average of 34, strike rate,
high strike rate
nearly 60 in first class.
Is that high?
I bet mine's about 45.
Ooh, yeah, ooh, I wonder what mine is.
Oh, embarrassing. 120 probably.
Embarrassing. I think mine's in the 80s. Ah, whatever. That was too easy, wasn't it? Can I go again? I can't really go. I haven't got time to go again, have I? No, I haven't got
probably
time.
Got
no. He said I have, but I'd have to search for more stats. But yeah, that was our club captain, Stephen Mullaney. 111 first class matches he's played.
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah.
He's getting on a bit now. How old is Mull? He's getting on a bit now, isn't he?
I wouldn't like to say, I don't want to get in his bad books.
He's
doing all right. I think he's 27 or so.
He's doing all right with the Lions at the minute, isn't he? He's
getting
on well.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Not bad. All right. Anyway, that was disappointing.
Ticked off, yeah.
It's too easy, that, Jake.
Yeah, it was a bit easy. Yeah, so we finish with the advice section. What do you do that for?
Nothing.
It's advice.
Right, yeah.
There's people out there that...
No, I know. Who can't take advice from me?
I can't believe it, but people want to hear a bit of advice from you, Ben. It's unbelievable. And Jake, it has to be about cricket. Can't be about golf.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So the advice is to boy or girl playing for their local club team. Today, I think we'll do an opening batters special, as that has been the hot topic of this podcast. So we'll start with you, Slats. Give us your hot piece of advice on how to become an opening batter. Good start.
Yeah.
Good start.
No, it's actually quite. I was talking to Tomo about this yesterday. Actually, after a net. I think over the years, as I've got a bit older and a bit more experienced, try not to get yourself too worked up, especially as an opening batter and in practice, especially if you don't pick something up straight away, or you're out in the middle and it's not going well, you're playing and missing balls nipping around or whatever. I think when I was a bit younger, I tried to strive for perfection a bit too much, and especially in the job that we do, you might not get that all the time. So I think it's almost a case of just staying calm and relaxed, and especially it's probably at club cricket, if you're younger, just if you don't pick something up straight away, bear with it and not don't try and get yourself too wet up about it. I think relax.
Nice bit of advice.
Yeah, very good.
Follow that, Jake.
Sorry, Jake.
Well, I think first of all, to be an opener, you have to be a bit crazy.
Ooh, the crazy crew.
No, I'd say, yeah, I think similar to Slattery is perseverance, particularly as an opener. I think, well, but I don't know sort of Ben's age group stuff, but I got quite a lot of setbacks coming up through the age groups. I think coming from Cornwall as well is quite difficult. You're quite in tucked away down there. So I think, you know, you got to have patience and trust in what you're doing and almost keep going when you get your setbacks. And I think accepting failure is quite a big one, because I think in cricket and in particularly opening the bat, and you're going to fail more than you succeed. So it's taking that on the chin, if you like, and trying to keep getting better to improve, really.
I think that's a great bit of advice, Jake. I think
thank you.
That's certainly something that I would echo. I think one thing that I found moving into obviously the first class environment and then stepping up an extra level is that you do generally have more bad days than good. And I think it's about not drilling that into kids from a young age, but making them understand that not every day you're going to go out there and get 100 or get a fifer. It's about learning from your mistakes and making sure that every time you go out on a field, you try and learn something about yourself. And I think that's a great bit of advice, Jake. It's a great way to end the podcast today. Thanks for coming in, guys. I've really enjoyed this one.
It's been a pleasure.
It's great insight into the opening batter's mindset. And if you guys have all enjoyed listening to it, then please do comment on all forms of social media with hashtag Talk of Trent Bridge. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what you think of these podcasts. And if you want anything extra on them, just let us know. Thanks for listening.